Episode 482, May 18th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
F***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've worked with Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they
are. Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and now it's time for Rob and Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Rob and Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Rob and Joe.
It's the Rob and Joe Show, and I, Rob Mayer, am 2 feet away from Joe Robinson.
Yeah, we decided, whatever. We're in phase one ourselves.
There we go. We are in phase one of the Rob and Joe Show, which means we're in studio like we normally do it. Joe and I in Joe's house, and Robbie in his beautiful home in Woodbridge, Dale City. Where the hell you live? I forgot already.
Buddy,
both are correct.
Somebody, I went to the beach this past week, right?
Look at you.
And you know what? Really, it was just to go up there and look at four different walls. But it was nice. We went there. Justin came on Friday. Sean came Friday night. Sean Gabbert, my friend Erica, came Saturday.
Nice.
You know, we had a lot of fun. But Justin does these cameos. I don't, you know what they are, right?
Where
they,
I do.
He paid $20 and he'll send a personal malice message
to
you.
We need to talk about getting ours done because I have one for myself. I mean, no one's going to pay to see me. We need to do a Robin joke.
Okay, well, we can. Yeah, well, you can certainly. If you do the work, I'll participate. How's
done.
That?
Yes.
So Justin is doing them. He did like four of them or five of them when I was sitting there, and somebody tweeted about it, and I go, yeah, they're worth $20. I was 5 feet away from him when he made six of these.
He's and they, killing it.
And they go, 5 feet away? You're supposed to be 6 feet away. I was like, oh, all right.
By the way, in some countries, it is 5 feet. So we're just making that up.
We're like, probably not 5 feet away right now.
No, but what happens at 5 feet and 11 inches? Does that sound? it doesn't make any sense.
I don't know.
Just making this shit up as we go along. Trust me, we won't talk about that. We'll have a fun episode. Although I do have some sort of unemployment news. I've gotten approved and cleared for money. Backdated first week of April. It's not a lot, but it's enough to pay my bills. Plus, you know, there'll be a lump sum. That's nice.
A lump sum's always better than getting a paycheck.
I like a lump sum.
You know, when you get a tax return, it's just the money you should have gotten anyway.
Yes.
But it's better to get it in a lump sum.
No, absolutely.
It's funny. This is, I don't know how interesting this is going to be, but I have a stock purchase program at my day job.
Well, I have some stock ideas for you.
So, of course, I've been losing money hand over fist, right?
Not today.
No, today was a good day,
yeah.
But I'm down a lot. Let's say I'm, if it was a six, it's down to a five. Let's say that. Okay. And so if I sell it, I'm going to lose money,
mm-hmm.
But that big giant chunk of cash feels like found money to me. Does
yes,
that make sense?
Does,
so yes, it's
right.
A little bit less than it would have been. Clearly, you'd rather have your money earlier, but I guess not if you're just going to blow it. So, you know,
yeah, well,
it all works out.
I mean, I don't have the money yet because I have to mail you this Bank of America card, which they put all the money on. So that's supposed to be here this week. But I actually worked here in this studio for 98 Rock.
Yeah, yeah.
On Friday morning because you were out of town. So I came. I spent
you
the
spent
night
the
here.
The night.
I spent the night Thursday
I
night.
I appreciate you doing that. So just so you'll know, it wouldn't have been a big deal for Robbie because Robbie would have just woken up at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever.
Right.
But the show Rob was on started at 5:30. I was out of town, so I couldn't do it. And I was like, do you mind spending the night, because if you don't, I have to wake up at basically 5:15 a.m. to make sure you can get on.
To explain how to get me on the computer.
Which wasn't difficult, but
no,
I just didn't want to wake up. That's all.
No, I get
it. So that was cool. Where'd you sleep, in my bed or in the guest room?
I slept in the guest room.
All right.
Yeah. Well, don't tell Tawanda this, but we were watching we hadn't finished Ozark yet. We were watching it at our house, and she started to fall asleep. So I said, all right, let's just, I'm going to leave now. So then I came here, and because I'm logged into your Netflix.
Oh, I see. She wouldn't have caught you.
I started picking up where I finished, and the next thing I know, I realized, I'm watching the finale. So I just watched it all. But then I went back and watched it with her and acted surprised.
I was about to say, did you tell? You didn't tell.
No,
yeah.
I didn't. Because I'm on your Netflix account. She can't see that I
today,
it says watched.
I wanted to watch The Last Dance because, I've been working out. We talked about it last week. And Katie and I are watching The Last Dance. So I'm like, let me ask her.
Yeah.
Because she's upstairs. I'll get caught anyway. So I go, hey, do you mind if I watch The Last Dance? She said, no problem. But episode 9 of The Last Dance is just the Utah Jazz versus the Chicago Bulls game 6 of the last series.
Right.
There's no, they don't talk to anybody. There's no interviews. There's no editorial comments. It's literally just the broadcast of the game.
Oh, really?
That's it. Just with the commercials taken out and no halftime.
Well, they.
Hey, I watched it anyway.
Yeah. Well, they didn't, they had to finish this sooner than they wanted to because they bumped up the release of this from the summer to, to April.
Oh, they did that because everybody would watch it because nobody's doing anything.
They've been promoting it as this summer. It was going to happen after the finals.
They were smart.
And then they saw that. But they hadn't finished the editing at all, so they had to put that together. But anyway, I worked for 98 Rock this past week, and I believe that because I had to promote. I don't want to get into the details, but I didn't break any laws, and I didn't commit fraud. And because of that, I believe it cost me $500 to work this past week.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You reported that you worked, and then you think that cost you because they see you as somebody working and you're not entitled to unemployment?
For that week, correct.
Yeah, that does
suck. But there's this whole Facebook group that that question has been asked, and everyone's like, no, do report.
Oh, really?
Because they will, you'll ban you from unemployment for 3 years and fine you, and they will know. And I'm thinking, I'm normally the one that would say F that, but now, Maryland, like every state, is now in the business of trying to get money back if they can or not have to pay.
Yeah, well, of course. There's a lot of money going out with not a lot coming in, right?
So in theory, I guess I should have worked for free.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes.
You would have made more money to not. I wonder if it's too late. You could have called up Rick and said, hey, is there any way to not?
Well, it's too late because I already submitted my. Each week you have to submit what you
right,
if
but
you
could
work.
You,
I know I submitted it to unemployment.
Oh, I see what you're
my
saying.
My weekly certification. Look, it is what it is. Now I know. But there was a number that if I went over, I would have been bumped off and had to reapply.
Which you didn't go over that.
I didn't go over that.
Right.
So that's the key thing. But it was an interesting week because it did feel like more of a normal week. It was pretty productive. I got to do that.
Well, hold on. Let me jump back to you being in the studio and working. So,
yeah, let's get to all that.
Yeah, so when Rob was in here, now, for example, Robbie can go into my computer, okay, and he can see everything that I do on my computer. He can remote in, and I trust him to not, to not violate my trust. I try, that's basically it, right? So Rob was in here, and my Hearst email was up. Are you aware of what happened here, Robbie?
I just realized what happened, yes.
So Rob goes into there and sends an email to Chris Restivo. Actually, let me see if I can find it.
Yeah,
right?
Just go to your sent email.
I go to my sent items. I'll read it verbatim. Okay, here it is. Got it. This is from Joe Robinson, by the way.
Yes.
It's from me. I need a favor. Katie and I got into a huge fight. She smashed my cell phone, being a real bitch. She kicked me out of the house. I can't go to Rob's because Tawanda's on her side. Can I stay with you for a few weeks? So, of course, that was said at 9:03. Meanwhile, he's still doing the show while that happened, right?
Right.
So
I texted it, screenshotted it, and sent it to Justin during the show.
Yeah, that's hilarious. So, anyway, that day, that was Friday, at noon, I get a call from Chris Restivo.
And you have no idea.
Yeah, I wish I knew, right? Because then I would have.
Well, that's why I put your cell phone with Smash, because I figured he'd respond by email, not calling you. So then you could see that, and then you could play along. You'd have figured it.
Well, if he called my cell phone, he knows it's not smashed, right?
But so, I thought he would read that it was smashed and not call your phone.
You should. Well, he's not going to do that. You should have said, "Please don't call my cell phone."
Yes, I should have. Yes.
If you had to do it all over again, yeah.
But when, Chris called you, and then and you had no idea why he was calling.
I didn't, but Katie sent a video of it, and I eventually realized it, and I started playing along, but it was probably too late at that point.
I thought it was a pretty good. I enjoyed myself.
I said, hey, we are getting into fights, and I had to sleep on the couch a couple times. You know, I tried to get there, but it's just too late.
I have some breaking news.
Ooh, yeah, I saw that in chat. What is it?
I have a commitment for our next Zoom meeting on Memorial Day.
Okay.
Well, guess who it is?
I've got to guess. Is it a celebrity?
It's the only person you really cared about.
Mike Chamberlain.
That's right.
All right, nice.
And I also have a commitment from Marcus Serta.
All right.
Well, it's funny you say that because I actually had an idea to change the date on that.
Okay. Well,
because
you're going to piss off Mike anymore.
Okay.
Not.
You risk. You risk
slow
losing
down.
Mike.
It could be
saying.
Two different. You do. It could be two different ideas.
Yeah.
But it seems like a no-brainer to have a Zoom one-year wedding anniversary for the Robinsons.
That's true. I mean, I don't. We can. How? What day is Memorial Day?
Monday the 25th, and
next
your anniversary
is Memorial Day, and then the following Monday is your anniversary.
I mean, I'd rather have Mike Chamberlain and have my anniversary free to spend with my wife.
Well, no, your anniversary is the 31st. Is it the 1st?
31st.
Okay. The 1st is Monday.
If it's not on the day, we might as well have it on the day that Mike Chamberlain's committed to, right?
Well, I'm saying you can do something on the 31st with your wife.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And
yeah,
then
but
have
we don't
a public Zoom.
We don't want to risk losing him. And Robbie, please make sure you extend invites to Justin Schlegel, Tommy Sabazo,
all those people.
Eric Woodward,
on the email.
I'll follow
and
up.
It's
going to
be your responsibility.
Got it. I got it.
Now let's get back to me staying at your house. Did you check to see if I was clean? Did you see?
Didn't even occur to me until we just got here. Didn't even think that you. I forgot you had come here.
I didn't. You didn't check because I didn't. There was no pranks. I didn't. Like yeah. Eric always. Moves
oh, Eric would just
in your
ruins
house.
The house. Yeah.
You have your coffee mugs that spell Katie Joe.
Uh huh.
And I spent about an hour in my head trying to. How could I rearrange those letters? I came up with nothing.
Yeah, it's
nothing
tough.
Funny.
You could probably Google that though. A lot of times you can Google.
I like it's more fun to do it myself.
What's it called? Anagrams? Is that what it is? And you can put Katie Joe in there. Matter of fact, while we're talking, I'm going
to
do that.
I was able to spell out joke, and then I didn't know what else. It's just nothing. I was trying to go for some racial slur, but nothing was coming up.
Okay, here's an anagram generator. Okay, you really fucked up because it's pretty easy to come to. And here
we go.
So Katie Joe. All right, here we go. Get your anagrams.
Well, it's not an anagram. You're just...
That's what an anagram is.
No, it's when the letters stand for something.
No, that's a mnemonic. An anagram is just when the letters are rearranged. Anyway, here we go. You ready? Here's the only thing you got. A tie joke. A.
Okay.
T-I-E joke.
Yeah.
Eat joke I.
Yeah.
T joke I. Eight joke I. E-T-A joke I. Jado eek I. Jado eek... It says E-K-E instead of and then a eek I jot.
Yeah, I thought of all those. They're
so really, none of them really make sense except for a tie joke.
Right.
It's the only thing that actually, and it's the best you can do, and that's from the internet.
And I decided that that's not worth the joke. I would just go in your email. I didn't even drink any of your alcohol. I did take one of your sodas, though.
You were welcome to anything that was in there. Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Hey, Rob. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you hide their air fryer like Eric Woodward?
You know what? It's hard to, it's hard to outprank Eric when he's at an Eric prank. I mean, he's the best at that. So
that's true.
And I thought, isn't the better prank if they're looking around for something and there's nothing? Not that they weren't doing that.
I wasn't. Yeah.
Right. But if Eric was here, you would be.
Yeah. Usually it's pretty easy.
And might even start driving you crazy because you're like, I know he did something.
Yeah.
So that would be the better prank.
Yeah, you.
I look.
If we were looking,
I will. If the opportunity presents itself, I will be emailing from your email again, but not to Chris or Steve. I have another idea.
Well, I'll know to close it then.
No, you'll forget.
Hey, we have some celebrity deaths. I know we're going to talk about one, and we'll probably take a break before we discuss the great Fred Willard. But today
sad.
Eddie Haskell died.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah,
and that used to be. Did you watch Leave It to Beaver at all?
Yeah.
I watched it all the time.
Yeah.
And it was a great show.
Absolutely.
It really was a great show. Do you agree, Robbie?
Yeah, it holds up.
Oh, it's so funny. Anyway, but of course, if I tried to turn that on with Katie in the house and she saw me watching that, she'd lose it. So, but Eddie Haskell, that was the metaphor for any ass kisser forever. And I just think recently people stopped using it. He's an Eddie Haskell. Wouldn't you agree?
My first girlfriend, Lori, her dad, Lee, loved him. He was a huge sports fan, so we became better friends than me and her. He called me Eddie Haskell because I was Mr. Carpenter. Hello. I was
right. You were. Yes. Gotcha. He thought you were sucking
up. So he immediately Eddie Haskell.
So somebody in chat, she's a fan. She's actually posted a picture of with me at a murder mystery. So I guess she's a big 98 Rock fan. Her name's Caroline Jellison. She tweeted out, Eddie Haskell died. I'm so sad. He was my type before I ever even had a type. And I said, who the hell's type is Eddie Haskell? Have you ever
saw
heard that?
You were in a pretty Joe mood today. Very surly Joe.
Oh, yeah, I got into a fight with somebody today.
Oh, was that
on
it?
Twitter? Yeah, but I was just screwing around. You mean with Mike Anderson telling me he screwed up the what do you mean?
Oh, was that a fight? I mean,
wasn't a fight. That wasn't my fight. I got into a Ravens fight with somebody.
Oh,
yeah, it's not worth mentioning on here, although I would.
Oh, I'm glad I wasn't involved,
but yeah,
with Ian Schultz.
No, although I've been in a fight with Ian Schultz before.
Well, I only know him through you.
Yeah, no, I
this
like
is
Ian.
Getting not funny.
No, I got I like Ian. But he did tweet out something the other day that annoyed me.
Is this going to be interesting?
I don't know. But we'll just say, he goes, you just got to face it. The Chiefs are better than the Ravens. Okay, well, no shit. Okay, that's fine. But it'd be the equivalent of me saying, hey, face it. Kate Upton's hotter than your girlfriend. Okay, well, don't be a dick. Everybody knows it, but you don't have to fucking tweet it at. Give me the purpose of that, right?
Well, they won the Super Bowl, so they're better than everybody.
Of course, they're better than everybody, and nobody, and they beat them during the regular season when they played. Nobody thinks of it. It's like, what? I need to know what the point of this is. Is it just to fucking piss the fan base off?
Yeah,
all I did was said, I just need to know what this is for.
And also, what does that mean? The Patriots were better than them last year.
Yeah,
they beat them.
What's the impetus for this? That's all. So, anyway. But it wasn't him, but whatever. Right. So I was in a fight with somebody else today but I didn't think I was that.
What
silly.
Happened with the Eddie Haskell? Did she get back at you for that?
No, we like
she basically each other. Just saying that this the guy died who's now my type. That he's the first person that taught me how to love a man and you shit on her.
And I said no one ever is what I said. No, but she likes me and I like her. That was just a joke. Same with Mike Anderson that I'm goofing on because we're in a pancake waffle French toast debate, if you'd like to just weigh in on that real quick.
I mean, I know you're a huge team waffle.
I love waffles. Yeah.
This is my issue with this. It's not an issue. Whenever I'm eating any one of those three things, they're my favorite.
Yeah, they're good, right?
Yes.
All right.
So I probably should eat more waffles because I haven't had a waffle other than like a Lego, my Eggo waffle.
Right. And it's not like a delicious Belgian crispy. Right. I gotcha.
But I'm able to make pancakes.
Yeah. Also delicious. Yes. I'm not acting like it's like when people argue about Jordan and LeBron, they don't think one sucks.
Right.
Right. That's the point.
I'll say this. I have no issue with you thinking waffle's the best.
But
because you're reasoning because the syrup gets in the thing.
Yeah.
It makes
sense.
Yeah.
But what he says is French toast. And
I love French toast.
I like French toast too. But what I basically said was, look, somebody just in chat said, how's Larry Mondello's health? That's pretty funny. Anyway, Larry Mondello, it was the other guy on was Beaver's friend on Leave It to Beaver. Anyway.
He's my type.
But French toast, I just go, all right, well, French toast is bread dipped in egg. That's not better than a waffle.
Right.
Right, but of course it is delicious.
Well, all right, so you're going to rank the three? You're going to go.
Well, let's be honest. If you're just talking about in general, because that's the thing, because you can have like, you know how Sarah Sebington was on here and her restaurant serves like Captain Crunch French toast. I'm sure that's fucking delicious.
Yes.
Obviously, if I get my pancakes at Cracker Barrel, the griddle cakes, that's different. Right. So you just have to take the general pancakes you get, the general waffle you get, and the general French toast you get.
Hmm.
In that order, for me, it's going to be waffle. And then, you know, I don't know, I guess pancake, then French toast, but they're interchangeable, but waffle will be my one seed.
Yeah, like a waffle, at like a hotel where it's the make batter.
That is that the easiest. Over.
Yeah. Yeah. That is delicious. I mean, if your answer was like that, I'll agree with you. Robbie?
Anybody who puts pancakes first deserves a punch in the face. Okay.
Well, that's extreme. Man, you really feel strongly about this.
Because the pancakes are the easiest to make, but clearly French toast or waffle always beats out pancakes, no matter what the quality. Am I correct about this?
I think so. Although when I do go, again, you go to Cracker Barrel, they're pancakes. Hey, you know who introduced me to the Cracker Barrel pancake?
Oh, God.
Gramps.
Okay. So after Robbie, and remember the guy who called Robbie at 7:30 and Robbie never talked to him again?
Yeah.
Okay. That guy, me and that guy helped Robbie move. I don't even remember where you moved, Robbie, but we helped him either move into or out of or whatever. Right. We helped him move.
This was Manassas, and we had a Cracker Barrel right down the
street. And he goes, hey, and he said, I want you to go to Cracker Barrel. I want you to taste these pancakes. And I'm like, okay. And then me and Chris Nickel, we went to Cracker Barrel. And we ate pancakes.
Also, they have that warm syrup.
The maple, yeah, that helps.
I love
too.
The maple. If I'm being honest, I like a little bit more savory pancake. The ones at the Cracker Barrel are a little bit too sweet because I like to put the sawmill gravy on them, not the syrup.
Yeah, okay. I mean, since I want the syrup, then I can't really. Obviously, I like gravy,
right?
But anyway, all right. Well, there's your answer. We didn't enter biscuits and gravy, which I would probably put above all these.
Well, he did in that poll. He asked, which is your breakfast? And he said waffles, pancakes, French toast.
Yeah, and then everything else in the world.
Yeah, which is unfair.
It wasn't. It dominated.
Exactly. We're talking about the former producer of the Justin Scott and Spiegel morning shows now in Florida, where you can roam about free as you like Todd Moore did. Todd Moore has a place in Florida. He was driving back to Virginia. Then the governor said, no, we're shut down for two more months. He just turned around. Right back to Florida. Living it up. Let's take a break, and we'll talk about Joe and his run-in with Fred Willard.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour. Foreplay. I know. I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy... He's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse, and that's six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's like, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They are good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
The Rob and Joe Show.
I just want to promo our Patreon real quick and give a shout out to Chris Harkins, who is watching every, or listening, I should say.
Yeah, watching.
Every old Rob and Joe Show episode from episode one. And he gives a like to everyone as he goes through them.
Oh, hell yeah.
Awesome. No, thank you, Chris. That's
great. I see him on Twitter. He's a good guy.
Good people.
What episode is he on?
Let's see. Hold on a second.
All right. Take your time, and what we'll do while you're gone, we lost the great Fred Willard. I guess it was 2 days ago. Is that right?
Yeah, this is 2 weeks in a row. We've lost some comedy legends.
Legends, yes. Yeah. Eddie Haskell and
I was talking about yes.
He's on Jerry episode Stiller. 67, where you guys talk about the cruise with the special needs people on it.
Oh, nice.
The cruise.
Our cruise.
Oh, the one I had a different wife at the time.
Yeah. You could have just said our cruise.
You didn't have to say the special needs person or the children that beat Rob and I in basketball. Yes. Yeah. That's where I thought you were going with it. Yeah. So Fred Willard, by the way, I love Fred Willard. And I had read a statistic, and I wish I thought of it to look for it before I came on here. He's been on the most individual television episodes, television series. More than any other actor in history.
How many?
I don't remember the answer to that, but, you know, he was on he was the dad in one show, and he's a guy who shows up in another show, and he's in on every show.
Nonstop working.
Yes, nonstop, and he's in all the Christopher Guest movies, and he basically steals every, you know, scene that he's in. Here's something also unique about Fred Willard is he is the only live person in the movie Wall-E. He's a it's really him. He's like the president or something. I don't remember what he plays.
J. L. Covan's favorite movie.
Right, his favorite movie of all time. But
he's the president of the evil corporation.
There you go. And he's a real person, and everybody else is a cartoon except for Fred Willard. But Fred Willard is great. I mean, I think people, to say what you know him most from is kind of crazy considering all the things he's been in.
Yeah.
But I do think that his shining moment is in Best in Show. I think that's what most people know him from, when he does the color commentary for the dog show. And he just, every time he opens his mouth, he steals the scene. He's so hilarious.
He also does guest spots on the show The Bachelor and Bachelorette. Whenever they're judging a contest, him and Chris Harrison are the judges, and he sits next to him.
And for that's how I'll remember him.
Yeah, well, that's how Robbie will remember him. Does he crush it, Robbie?
He's always funny,
yeah. He's so great. But
it's tough to be funnier than Chris Harrison.
I had a chance to interview him when I was on 98 Rock at Night. And one thing I didn't know, first thing, I gave Robbie credit because, you know, Robbie booked him.
Robbie was the super producer, still is. But
Robbie booked him, and we didn't pay him anything.
How did you convince him, Robbie?
Yeah, Robbie, I want to know how you did that. That's huge.
I always kept an eye out for people that we would enjoy talking to, who had something maybe to promote, who weren't the biggest celebrity names necessarily, but people who we loved. And he happened to be, Wall-E was coming out, and I knew that he was in it, and I thought that'd be a great person to talk to. So I reached out to his people, and they said, absolutely. And he called in.
And I actually gave a shout out to Theo. I forgot that Mickey is who was, he was filling in. So I used to do a show with, Theo. At night, and so I just assumed he was the one that was there, but I guess he was out, so Mickey filled in. By the way, 313 acting credits is what Fred Willard has.
It's pretty good.
It's going to be tough to find somebody who has more acting credits than that. He was recently on Modern Family. He's Frank Dumphy. Was he the main guy's father?
I don't watch the show.
Oh, okay. Anyway, what I used to do is I used to play, whenever Robbie would get a big guest, mm-hmm. I would play trivia against that celebrity about them. And of course, the joke was every question was subjective, although there was one question that wasn't subjective that he got right. But Robbie, you have a clip of that, you said, right?
Yeah, I have the whole game. You tell me when to stop.
Yeah, play it. I want to hear the
whole
thing.
All right, Fred. What was your greatest performance?
There are so many to choose
from. There are a lot to choose from.
I would think that my greatest performance was in Mighty Wind. I forget my character's name. I was when my hair was dyed blonde, and I was the.
Oh no! I'm sorry. That's not correct.
Did I lose? Well, no.
No, it's Ron Albertson in Waiting for Guffman.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That's all right. You were close.
I'm down by one.
Yeah. Question number two.
All right. Here we go. Name a better improvisational comedic actor.
Oh boy, I would say it'd be between Christopher Guest or Robin Williams.
Yeah, actually, there is none. It was a trick question.
Oh, okay.
It's 0-2, Fred.
Oh dear. Okay, what is this? The best out of 100 or what?
33. I think there's two.
Out of five.
The best out of five.
Just because you're not doing well, you don't want to quit, do you?
No.
Okay. All right.
What am I up to? Do I have any money? Have I won anything?
In Jeopardy, you would be negative $400.
Oh, good Lord. Okay.
All right. What was a better show? Love American Style or Love Boat? Take your time on this.
Let's see. I would say a Love Boat.
Actually, underrated, but Love American Style.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
You know, I was on Love Boat with the great Joe Namath.
Were you really?
I played buddies on that show. Yeah, I don't have a copy of it. I'd love to see it.
I'm sure it's on YouTube, Fred.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, well, you can't win now, but there are two more questions.
I just want for an honorary, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I'm like the Hillary Clinton here now. I've lost, but I still can win a...
That's my party gift.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Name a movie that you performed in that you did not steal. A movie where you did not steal the movie.
I would say... what was the Will Ferrell movie that, Anchorman.
No, you actually stole that.
Oh, did I?
Yeah.
It was How High.
Oh, okay.
With Method Man. Sorry.
Yeah, well, I was up against,
Method Man and Redman.
Yeah, Method Man
Redman. Yeah, they were, but you know something, I worked with them, and what's the name of their group, in that rap group.
Wu-Tang Clan?
What?
the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
I was told, you know, watch out for them. These guys are gangsters. I got in there, and I worked with them. They were so professional and so good to work with.
Yeah.
I was really amazed. They were truly... Now, when they went out on the tour...
Right.
To promote the movie, that's a different story. They had to actually pull the plug on the press tour with the Wu-Tang Clan.
Because there's
but
a
I don't know why that would surprise anyone.
That's funny, because there's a quote from Redman saying how unprofessional you were. Completely opposite.
So isn't that awful?
So we have the last question. We're going to see if you can get one. This is okay. In the movie Waiting for Guffman.
I remember it, yes.
What surgery did Ron Albertson undergo?
Well, he had a penis reduction.
That's correct.
All right, Fred Willard. Well, Fred.
So I can walk away with my head held high.
Right. Yeah. That's actually the best anyone's ever done.
Yeah. All right. God, that was so great. Good. Yeah, man, he was awesome.
That's a good memory, Joe, because you could tell these interviews, they get monotonous. They get asked the same questions.
Yes.
And you could tell he loved that.
Well, it was fun to do, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, and also we were kissing his ass, but also he was great.
Yeah.
He really, really was great. And it's funny, I was talking about stole 313, the show, and 313 movies, but he was consistently, who doesn't like Fred Willard? Everybody loves Fred Willard. Nobody's like, oh, that guy, I don't think he's funny. When you hear that about Jim Carrey, sometimes you hear that. Some people don't like Jack Black. Some
Eddie
people
Murphy.
Don't like, yeah.
Yeah.
But everybody loved Fred Willard. He's so fucking hilarious.
He had a hilarious opening line in that interview. Mickey introduced him as one of the greatest comedic improvisational actors of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, Fred Willard. And he goes, I'm at a loss for words.
Oh, that's great.
Good for you to pull it up, Robbie. Well done.
Yeah, that's awesome. And actually, I was hoping that when I tagged you in that you'd throw that link on Twitter. But I'm happy about this.
Listening to that and listening to you, him really enjoy that. And it made me think of the opposite experience I had that I don't think I've ever told this story.
Go ahead.
Remember I told the story about when I first met Todd Moore, we did this public television show, Megahertz, and I would do movie reviews and I'd interview people. And Jamie Presley, I interviewed her and I hit on her.
Oh, yeah,
That went really well. He was in on it.
Yeah,
it was fun.
But people didn't get it and all that.
No,
yeah.
But me and her had a good rapport. I interviewed Franca Potente.
Who's that?
She was in this movie Run, Lola, Run. And then she was the love interest in Born Identity to Matt Damon.
Got it.
And then she ended up dying in the second one.
Oh, yeah, okay, yes.
So she was in whatever movie she did after Run, Lola, Run. She's German. The director of Run, Lola, Run and this new movie, which I saw, which is where I tried to meet Arch Campbell. It's a whole other debacle story.
Right.
But
who also hated you.
Anyway, exactly. The director is also her, I want to say boyfriend, maybe husband, but definitely at least boyfriend. So the producer of this segment and the cameraman has said to me, look, because Run, Lola, Run, she's always running in this movie.
Right.
Try to get her to do something where she would do some play running thing. And I bring that up, and her boyfriend director, you know how many times we hear that same stupid idea? She's not here to run. She's here to talk about our next movie. And I'm like, I didn't have the instincts to think that was a the courage to know that that was a bad idea and then not do it. And here he is shitting on me. I'm like, yeah, but he's right. It is a horrible idea.
Yeah.
And so, but I remember that. Dude,
and it ruined it.
It
right?
did ruin it. Yes. It's super awkward, the whole interview.
Yeah. Would you ask her? So, how do you like acting?
Yeah, then it was back to whatever. So, what's the difference between this and the follow up? And
it's weird to say that because when we used to get people, Stan Lee, we got to interview. We got to interview Kyle Gass. When we would get them, I really said, "How can I make it something that isn't what they always hear?"
Yes,
you know what I mean. I really wanted to do that. And even when I talked to Hayden Hurst, when I do, I literally say to myself, "All right. What's he going to find interesting?" That's why I talk about famous redheads and anything that I can do that isn't about football, because I don't know shit about football compared to him. Now, I know a lot about football compared to the average person that's walking around, compared to Chris Restivo. I know a lot about football. But then you want to distinguish yourself with these people so they go, "Oh, I remember having a good time doing that." Now, the truth is, there's no way in hell Fred Willard remembered that, because he's constantly...
Right.
Think about how busy he is. Everything that they ask him to do, he does. He does 313 different acting, individual acting, you know,
tens of thousands of hours.
Oh, yeah,
of promo. Because,
exactly. And then Robbie from The Night Show in Market 21 calls him up and goes, "Hey, do you want to?" And he says, "Yes." And then he spends as much time as we want with him. And, so it's pretty cool.
And the reality is, with a football player or one of these actors, any answer that they would give you about the movie or about their sport that's interesting, they're probably not going to give you.
Right.
Like Hayden Hurst isn't going to tell you about some argument in the locker room that, you know. That
you know what's funny? He did.
Well, there you.
And you know
and
why?
Then,
and
then they traded him.
No, I think that he told me that because he's like, "Oh, this isn't, this guy's a regular guy."
Right.
You know what he told me?
What's that?
So, and I can't remember the context, and I guess I can tell it now because he's not on the team anymore. Mm. And remember, I was trying to be his friend. But he was talking about how John Harbaugh yelled at Matt Skura in practice.
Yeah.
Matt Skura is the center, or was the center for the Ravens before he got hurt. The head coach is John Harbaugh. And Marshall Yanda, who's recently retired, fucking took him to task.
The coach or the Skura?
No, he took the coach to task.
Whoa.
And he's like, and he goes, "Hey," once he did that, Harbaugh knew he was wrong. So he would have said, "No, you don't do that," blah, 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 and put him in his place, but obviously more angrily. And Harbaugh's like, "Okay, cool. I'm sorry about that. Sorry, shouldn't have done
that's
that."
A damn good story.
Yeah, yeah. It was a great story. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't.
But he, on the air? Off the
no,
air?
Off the air. Right, so right. I never did anything with that information because, I mean, he entrusted me with it, but now I guess, you know, whatever. He's on another team. I don't know. Would he care? I don't know. Skura's not on the team anymore. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yanda's
on the team anymore. Hurst isn't on the team anymore.
Well, the story's about the coach who's on the team.
Yeah, he might get upset about that. Who knows? I don't know. I love John Harbaugh, so I hope he doesn't. But
Robbie, that seems like a story that Joe should have told on the bonus show last year.
Yeah, yeah. I just told it right here. Mm-hmm. All right. Don't let it get back to Coach Harbaugh.
I spoke to one David Koechner today on the phone for about 20 minutes. He's the divorce is complicated due to COVID.
Right.
And you know, fighting over money. But he said something interesting that I guess, because he's doesn't bless this mess, the TV show he's been on, hasn't been picked up yet. But then he said, "Yeah, but there's nothing to replace it. They're not shooting any pilots."
Oh, yeah. So it's going to happen.
So it's probably going to happen.
That's a good idea.
Because they got to replace it with something, and nothing new is being made.
So I didn't know. I guess the divorce is that public knowledge?
I mean, it would they're going through that. Yeah, I think it came out on TMZ and stuff. So
wow.
So I feel like I can talk about it. I mean, I know more details than TMZ, I would hope. But
probably, like, you know, you held on to it like I held on to that Hayden Hurst story.
Exactly,
right?
Yes.
Maybe you could get Koechner to do one of these Zoom calls.
I probably could.
Yeah, why not, right?
Yeah.
Then we don't have to talk to Mike Chamberlain that much.
Is that a bigger get, Koechner? They could talk. How
do
many
you think,
Koechner
God,
movies
can
you
imagine?
Chamberlain has seen?
Koechner's going to see Chamberlain like, "Who the fuck is this guy," right? He's not going to get that. Hey, Robbie, do you think Mike Chamberlain knows who David Koechner is?
Good question.
Probably yes, I would think.
Send him a text while we're on the air. I'm interested in knowing if I'd like to confirm that information.
You could text him directly, couldn't you?
I don't think I have his number, and if I did, he wouldn't have mine in his phone, and he would wonder who the hell's texting him.
So we are officially announcing that we're doing this on next Monday, the Zoom call, correct, Robbie?
Yeah, we'll probably start the show closer to regular time, and we'll do the Zoom call at 6, and we'll do the show at 7.
So that means I'm back at home, or am I here? How does that work?
No, we could do it here. Yeah, why not here?
You might have
just bring my laptop.
We could also do it in the sit next to each other.
Yeah, we could. Fighting over one mic.
No, if you do the computers next to each other, you're going to get
right.
Bounced back and forth. You have to be in a different room.
Gotcha.
David Koechner, by the way, he has 191 acting credits. That's a fuck ton of acting credits.
He's always working.
Yeah. And you know what he's filming? You might know this. Marmaduke.
I didn't know that. He doesn't even know what. Well, a lot of that stuff is he's filmed it, and it's the timeline of what it says on IMDb is not necessarily what his timeline of having done it is.
Now, do you know who Phil is to Marmaduke?
I don't even know what Marmaduke is.
You don't?
I mean, no.
So
I mean, I've heard that, but I don't
know. So Marmaduke is a Great Dane.
Okay.
And he is a cartoon.
Yeah, you know me in cartoons.
Yeah, but you know who Heathcliff and Garfield are, right?
They're cats.
Right. When you say, yeah. Robbie, other than Snoopy, right, you got Marmaduke next, right?
Yeah, let's go over all the cartoon animals and see what I know.
I mean, what's a bigger cartoon dog? You got
Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo's bigger than Marmaduke.
I know, right? Scooby-Doo. Yeah.
Hong Kong Phooey is a dog.
Don't know what that is.
Right? Robbie, he is a dog.
he is a dog.
Let's see. Famous cartoon dogs.
Huckleberry Hound.
Is Huckleberry Hound bigger than Marmaduke? I don't think he is.
I know about the 101 Dalmatians.
But see, Marmaduke was only a comic strip. He never had an actual animated show.
All right, here we go. When we're talking about Underdog.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
You don't know who Underdog is?
Oh, wait, is that a superhero dog or something?
It is.
Yes.
Okay. Scooby-Doo, Odie.
I don't know Odie.
That's the dog in Garfield.
Garfield's
right.
Friend, Odie.
Goofy.
Yeah, that's a Disney thing.
Huckleberry Hound.
Don't know.
Well, if you mention Goofy, you got to mention Pluto.
Pluto's next, I was about to.
Yeah.
Snoopy.
But I don't know if I'd recognize who's who.
Muttley. Are you familiar with Muttley?
Muttley Crue?
Yes.
That's a Snidely Whiplash's dog, correct, Robbie?
I don't know who Snidely Whiplash is.
And Sidekick.
Yes. Deputy Dog?
I've heard that, but I don't know what that's from or what it looks like.
He was a, one of those Hanna-Barbera whatevers.
Okay.
Mr. Peabody is another big one.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Clifford.
The Big Red Dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I would... I don't know what that's from. Its own thing? Or?
Yeah, it's its own thing.
Yeah.
And then you got...
Yeah, and Chad mentions Droopy Dog.
Droopy. Also, Astro.
That's Astro's, the Jetsons.
Correct. That's right.
Wow, good job, Rob.
All right, big Jetsons guy.
So those are probably your biggest, right?
What about cats? Are there a lot of cats?
Let me think.
Tons of cats.
Here we go. Cartoon cat.
Snaggletooth, does that count? He's a...
Saber-tooth tiger.
Only domestic cats. Top cat.
You got Felix, the cat.
Okay.
Right? Obviously, Heathcliff, the Pink Panther.
Yeah.
You got, you probably don't remember Top Cat. That's pretty old.
No.
Yeah, I just mentioned Top Cat.
You have Scratchy and Snowball from The Simpsons. Oh, Tom from Tom and Jerry. He's huge.
Okay, yeah.
Sylvester from Sylvester and Tweety, right?
But Tom, who's Jerry? Is it a mouse?
Yeah, Jerry's a mouse.
Jerry's the mouse.
I wouldn't have known who was who.
Yeah.
Well, Tom Cat.
Tom
wouldn't
Cat.
Have been able to figure out who the
I mean,
cat
I would that would who I would have guessed. Yeah, but I would have been a guess.
What about a cat from Cat Dog? Are you familiar with that?
I don't know cat or cat dog.
You don't know cat dog?
No.
It's a really disturbing actually, cat dog.
Okay.
Cat dog is a cat and a dog that are attached.
Got that.
Centipede.
They're attached to each other.
I like it.
And they don't have any genitals. It's just there's a cat on one side and a dog on the other.
Okay.
They don't have an asshole or genitals.
Good.
Let me show you a picture of cat dog.
It's like human centipede kind of thing.
It's a lot.
What is this from?
Only backwards.
So cat dog was a Nickelodeon show, and it was pretty good. Actually, here's cat dog if you want to take a look at, let me see, images. Hold on. So here's a look. I don't know how to describe it any better than.
I've seen that thing. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was a pretty good show, but the theme song was better than the show.
Okay, Cat Stevens.
No, it was
Three Dog Night.
Do you remember the theme song for Cat Dog, Robbie?
I do not remember it that well. No.
Well, if you get an opportunity, you could just play. If you could play it, but I don't think I can do it from my.
We already
computer.
Got the Fred Willard clip. You can't play the Cat Dog theme.
Well, if you just went to YouTube and put Cat That's Dog true. Theme. And see if somebody see if you like it.
Cat What's on the Mount Rushmore of cartoon animals? Dumbo?
Snoopy is going to be way up there, right?
Yeah.
And then you're going to have to go Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
Okay, so those are the two. Here's Cat Dog.
Wow.
One fine day with a wolf and a purr, a baby was born and it caused a little stir. No blue buzzard, no three-eyed frog, just a feline canine little cat dog. Cat dog. Cat dog. Alone in the world was a little cat dog.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good, right?
Will you play that during an anniversary lovemaking session with Katie Robinson?
Yes.
Just slip it in there.
Have it on a mixtape.
Yes.
Yeah, that would make me last longer, I think. Hey, here's a picture of an X-ray so you can see what's going on with its spine
and everything.
Oh, good.
It looks like it checks
How
out.
Else would it work?
It's healthy.
Right? Anyway. One thing, are we done with talking about cat dogs?
Sure. Does the Chad have anything to say anymore?
Yeah, right. Did Chad have anything to add, Robbie? No. Sylvester, they mentioned.
Cat in the Hat.
Oh, Cat in the Hat's huge. You're right. And Garfield's also huge, although Garfield just fucking sucks. Oh, Bugs Bunny. So Bugs Bunny is definitely on the Mount Rushmore of cartoon animals. I say Snoopy, Mickey Mouse, and then what? You might go Donald Duck. You might have to still stick with Disney. I don't know.
Ren and Stimpy are still pretty huge.
They're not bigger than Donald Duck, Robbie.
No, but I'm just saying it's in terms of a cat and a dog.
Oh, I would say we're going to, now we're on the
Mount Rushmore. You know
Whatever.
Less than our Mount Got Rushmore. It.
When I went to Ocean City again, some friends visited.
Uh-huh.
And, well, one thing that was funny, I'll tell this real quick. So I talked last week about, I had the most popular tweet that I've ever had. It has 100 more likes than my wedding photo, okay? And it was a tweet I talked about last week about the Reese's egg being better than the Reese's cup, right? Who gives, right? It's
you
funny,
went
whatever.
There.
So a girl of text, I prefer the cup,
tweets.
Blah, 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 retweets it, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, tweets it. And I then reply blocked, which clearly is a joke. Am I right about that? Would anybody not know that that's a joke? That I'm
it's
not gonna,
pretty obviously a joke.
That's clearly it's a joke. I'm not going to. By the way, if you look at my responses to everyone, if they don't agree, I put blocked. Reported, you know,
it's a theme.
Muted, right? Yes. It was just a joke that I put in there.
Dead to me,
right? So then, and then when they would agree with me, I would be like, "Yeah, I know." Like I would fuck that. Every one was a joke. Okay, so this girl says that she prefers something else. I put block. She goes, "Seriously, it was just a joke," and blocks me. So then she blocks me, right?
Right.
So then Justin's there, and I tell everybody's laughing. Justin tweets. He tweets at her. He goes, "Yeah, he's a fucking dick. He does this shit to me all the time." He starts fucking shitting on me to that girl. So there's somebody out there that hates me right now. But that's on her. She doesn't get jokes. That's
How
not
many
on
people
me.
Do you think she's told that story to?
God, I mean, anybody that she told it to, she's like, "Well, don't you think that's a joke that he blocked you? Do you think he really is that passionate about the Reese's egg that he would block you from?" By the way, she wasn't blocked. Hey,
right.
And, hey, you know how I found out she blocked me?
Yeah, how do you find out?
I kept trying to like her.
Oh,
her,
I see.
I kept trying to like it, what she did, and the heart kept disappearing. I was like, this is weird. And then I went on her page, and it says, you can't view her tweets. You're blocked. So she blocked me. I'm like, well, what is that like? Well, you're going to block me? I'm going to block you.
That's the day and age we live in. It's funny that me and Tawanda had this same thought. We watched that, talked about it on the air with Josh on Friday morning. That Trial by Media, that Netflix series.
No, what's that? Tell me about
it. Well, they just go over some real-life trials that were huge in the media. This first episode is the one where the guy went on Jenny Jones. With
Secret
crush.
And he killed the guy who had the crush
right.
on him.
Yeah, that guy's now out, by the way. He's done his 22 years.
Jeez.
Because back in that day, that was the heyday of Jenny Jones and Ricky Leake and Montel Williams and Jerry Springer. And they show on the Jenny Jones show, before they bring the people out, they're like, he's got there's a secret crush, but he doesn't know it's a guy. The crowd's like, oh my God, they're going crazy and laughing. And I'm like,
God, they look like all look like such fucking idiots. And then I said, where? And then I realized, you know where all those people go now? Because they're not, those shows don't really exist as much. You know where they're at? They're online. They're on social media.
Oh, yeah.
They're still there.
Yeah,
so when you're arguing
to you, yes.
with somebody that
it's
you don't really
person.
Know, it's that person. Because they didn't stop making those people.
But those shows are still around.
Not to the degree that they were.
You got Steve Wilko and you have Jerry Springer.
Is Jerry Springer still on?
Is it?
I don't know. But
I think Jerry Springer's currently, he started a different show. He's not doing the talk show anymore. And Mike responded, doesn't ring a bell. Screenwriter? Question mark.
I guess it probably is a screenwriter, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jerry Springer show is active right now, yeah. Clip of the week, if you'd like to watch it. Let me just read you the clip of the week, if I
oh,
could.
Oh, please do.
Crystal wants more than a summer fling with Sam. However, Sam is already involved and claims he lied to Crystal to make sleeping with her easier. Well, what, like every guy that ever existed?
I mean, those shows, there's nothing more that I hate than those shows. I can't. Like, I'll turn the TV on in the morning and whatever the news that Tawanda was watching at 6 a.m., now at 10 a.m., it's the Steve Wilko show or whatever. I'm like, this is...
Well, Steve Wilko and Maury is still
right.
on. They're all the same show.
Yes.
But also, to be honest with you, Dr. Phil is that show, too.
I mean, I haven't
they
watched
the same
Dr. Phil
dysfunction
in years.
On there. He just has a little more credibility,
but
I
there's
guess,
not the ambush aspect. There's not the... It, just the Maury Povich is the, you know, you're not the father, the DNA, the pregnancy test.
Yeah, are you like me? I always root for them not to be the father.
Yes.
Because then...
Although I don't watch those, but...
If I place myself in that situation, I would not want to be the father.
Yeah.
So that's... Well, unless
somebody
Katie was pregnant, then...
Yeah.
Yeah. But that
if
would be
Katie
tough.
Was pregnant, you'd root that you're the father?
I would. I guess I would, right? Yeah. Although I don't know how I could be because I'm fixed. But
right.
Things happen, right?
Rude.
Yeah, if she's pregnant, it's not you. Then you got some. She has some explaining to do.
Yeah,
that's a good boner show right there.
It comes out looking like you.
Yeah. Let's take a break. We'll wrap this thing up. Rob and Joe show.
Love and marriage, love and marriage, go together like a horse and carriage. These two plan to be wed. It's too bad someone will drop dead.
We're having a wedding and you're all invited. Die Laughing Productions presents Love and Marriage and Murder. It's the bride and groom's big day. Bells will ring, the sun will shine. They'll love until the end of time. The end indeed, because this is a murder mystery. A wedding whodunit. Can you solve it and live happily ever after? Love and Marriage and Murder stars me, 98 Rock's Justin Schlegel, Joe and Katie Robinson, the real-life newlyweds, and all your favorite Die Laughing Productions performers. But the real stars of the show are all you, the wedding crashers in the audience. We have audience roles available for willing volunteers. The rest of you could sit back, laugh, and enjoy a wedding day ruined by an untimely death, and maybe help solve a whodunit.
Next performance, June 20th at Jam and Java, Vienna. For tickets and more information, visit DieLaughingProductions.com.
The Rob and Joe Show.
So I was talking about, I was mentioning the beach because Sean Gabbert from Die Laughing Productions came down. He told me something. I'll tell you how I knew. He kept talking about wanting to get in the ocean. Okay?
Yeah.
Well, the ocean is 50-something degrees, okay? The ocean
yes.
is fucking frigid, okay? So I'm like, no, I'm not. Why would I do that? I'm not going to get in the ocean.
Of course not.
Why would I do that? I'm not going to do it. He goes, I'm going to do it. Jumps in the ocean, right? Then we come back. We're talking. He goes, I'm going to go in again. Goes in the ocean again, right? I go, dude, what are you doing? He goes, you know, every morning I take a cold shower.
On purpose.
On purpose.
Why?
Here's why he said. And then I read about it.
I've heard that
and he's right.
Thing. Yes.
Because the body was not built to take warm showers. We've only been able to take warm showers for a very, 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 very small percentage of man's existence.
Right. Yeah.
So obviously.
Makes sense.
The idea of never being uncomfortable, right? So think about this. What used to, I was listening to Jordan Peterson tell a story about his grandparents who were from Alberta. And there was a time of year that they would start chopping wood, and they would chop wood for like 6 months, and then they would use that wood for the next 6 months, and then they'd start chopping wood again. That was their life. If not, they couldn't have heat.
Yeah.
You know, 100 years ago or whatever. You know, Deadwood, the show Deadwood?
Yeah.
That's 150 years ago. So the, you follow what I'm saying? Yeah. We have people on this planet that were alive 50 years after they were, there was no paved roads, there's no cars, there's no law, they're shooting each other. Not that Deadwood's a documentary, but there
were
towns like that, right? So what he says is, you know, basically, it's not good for you to never feel discomfort, and it's also better for your skin and better for your hair, whatever. Okay, fine. He doesn't have any hair, so that's, yeah. I don't know why that would make a difference. But I think about the morning. And the idea of getting ready. And I remember you telling me one time, you wish, you always dreamt that you wish you could be Spider-Man so you could shoot webs up to the ceilings to help get yourself out of bed.
Yeah.
I remember you telling me
that.
Yep,
lazy.
Because getting ready fucking sucks.
Yeah.
The idea is like, okay, I got to get up. I got to walk the dog. I got to feed the dog. I got to make a cup of coffee. I got to brush my teeth. I got to shower. I got to shave. I got to get dressed. I got to.
It's a whole production.
All the stuff you have to do. The one thing. The only thing that I look forward to in that whole process
is that hot shower.
Is this the shower's hot?
Yes. Yeah.
And the one
and the water
thing,
pressure's good.
Right. The one thing that I have, he took away.
Well, you're not gonna. Are you not gonna have hot showers?
Fuck!
Now?
I'm only gonna take hot. There's no way I'm taking a cold shower.
When you've taken one before, though, and not by choice, but you,
dude. When I have to take a cold shower. I've been in situations where you're like, okay, what am I gonna do? Basically, I wet the soap. I washed only the parts that have to be washed, ass, balls, cock, pits, right? Then I have to rinse it off, and that's the fucking horrible part.
Yeah.
And I get in there as quickly as I can, try to do all that. Then I wet my hair, but only putting my head in. I don't put any in my body. I'm awkwardly as I can. Shampoo my hair, and then rinse it out with not any of it touching my body. That's the only way I can take a cold shower.
When I have to do it, I have to psych myself up.
Yeah, you can do this.
I remember we were in Egypt. It was a military thing. They had us in this, essentially in a three-bedroom apartment on the base, basically. So it was me, Tommy Davidson, and Kenny, our promoter. So we're all living together for 2 nights. And they didn't have any hot water. And of course, it's a long trip, you know. Like I got
to
shower.
You have to, yeah.
Right. But I said, guys, look, I'm going to be like, yes, come on, do this. Because I have to get myself, like, I have to embrace it, like, run towards it almost. But I needed to get into that mindset just to be able to have a cold shower that Sean Gabbard apparently does willingly every morning.
God, yeah. Now, the thing about Sean Gabbard is he's independently wealthy through a lot of good decisions made by his parents and also them passing on some information to him regarding how the stock market works. So as a result, he doesn't have to get up. That's a big thing.
Yes.
That's a big thing because for me, you know, I had friends with me and then my boys came over on Sunday night. So I was killing it this weekend. So I needed to rest, but today was the first day of work. So 7 o'clock, I had to wake up. So I didn't even get to enjoy sleeping in. By the way, that is one thing I've been saying this. I've been fucking loving the quarantine. I love it.
You're sleeping in, you're sleeping better probably.
I'm sleeping in later than I normally.
You're
I don't,
getting enough sleep.
I don't have to drive home. I don't have to get dressed. Everything is just so great. Now, eventually, I'm going to have to go back to work, and that's going to suck, right?
That is going to suck.
But right now,
not for you, not
what
for
I
me.
Do is I charge my laptop at night, charge my phone at night, wake up, walk the dog, make a cup of coffee, go in and start working. Work till noon, walk the dog. Now, after I walk the dog, I work out. After I'm done working out, I go upstairs, brush my teeth. Shower. I put the laptop in the bathroom in case I get a phone call or email. Get out of the shower, dry off, put pajamas back. I'm wearing pajamas right now. The pajamas I took off. Put on a t-shirt, sweatshirt if it's cold.
Yeah.
Flip up the laptop till 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock, I shut that thing. My day's over. My day starts and ends as my computer opens and closes. It's phenomenal.
But think about all the people that are doing that now and the companies that are realizing that this is working, we're still being productive if they are. And then if you're like, why would you live in New York City if you could live, you know, upstate or somewhere and have your New York City high-priced job if you don't have to go in there?
Yeah, clearly.
Why would you pay those taxes and live in that high rent?
I don't have an answer for you.
I think you're going to see people that are going to, wait, I can do this job and not pay $2,800 for an apartment.
There are jobs clearly that you have to go to. But right. The jobs that you have to go to, they're also usually the lowest paying jobs. If you have to be in retail or you have yes. to, you know, you have to go to these things.
You have to drive the bus.
You're running a grocery store. You're a cashier at a grocery store. Right. You're doing those things. Everything else, the jobs that you seek, and again, I know I'm being general. I'm sure yes. there are high paying jobs that you that are essential, like doctors, right? Yes. I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
Right.
But a lot of these jobs, you know, you'd much rather say, well, I don't want that job. I want a desk job that I can do for my house, which clearly you'd rather do.
Let's wrap this up, but I have another chapter in the Rob Mayer comedy kumite.
You had another kumite?
Yeah, remember I talked about the corporate kumite from the
right?
kumite with the improv.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got a job.
That was
going to
be a kumite also. I didn't
yes.
know that.
Okay.
So it's, again, to refresh, it's a comedy tournament. You take on another person. You each do 4 or 5 minutes. The audience votes. I am, I believe, something like 2-9 combined, never having won a tournament.
Right.
And, I you know, it's comedy subjective, but I would say in every single matchup, if the improv was going to do a pecking order on who they would book, I was
right.
I was ahead of everyone I've
right,
lost.
Right, right,
and beaten, but and I've lost to every variation. I've
right.
lost to the upstart 22-year-old, the black girl, the white guy, the veteran,
the Muslim.
Yes, I've everybody, right?
The handicapped.
Exactly. So clearly it's me. So it's a 4-person comedy kumite for this consulting group. And it's a Zoom thing, obviously. They're all over the country. There's only like 15, 20 people on this call, the audience. So it's me, and it's the same guy I lost to in the second round, Rallo, and then two of the other girls in the competition and the other side of the bracket. So Rallo goes first. Or no, I went first. Doesn't matter. I forget. I thought I had a really good set. And then I thought he was fine. And then the winner... 74% Rallo. Now, granted, there's not a lot of people, so the numbers, you know, three
right,
people
right,
change.
Right,
but
right,
still,
right.
I'm like, are you serious? Like, I know when I'm telling a joke right, and I feel like I've done it well, but you know, then I'm like, you know what? I don't even know anymore. I've stopped even trying to figure this out. So then the next competition happens. The first girl, Kasha, goes. The girl I beat last time in the first round, Wendy. Who's working? She's got a day job. She's teaching something. She's at work. She's in her car doing the Zoom during her
right,
lunch.
Right.
It was at noon. It was a lunch break. Her phone is going out, so it's not working. So Chris White is running it. Says, "Rob, do you want to step up?" And of course, I'm still there watching. What else am I going to do?
Right.
I go, sure. So I immediately just do another 4 minutes.
Right.
And then they pick me to win that
oh,
round,
okay,
right?
Right? Because now yeah. there's sympathy for you. Right?
Yes.
Right. Gotcha.
So then I'm in the finals. Against Rallo, the guy I'm now 0-2.
Right, right.
So he goes first. Then I go, the winner, Rob Mayer!
Yes!
I won the thing! I don't know how, if it counts, but I'm counting it as a comedy kumite victory.
100% it counts. I'm actually going to be I'm in some show.
You're doing the Riff in Time. That's fun.
Whatever that is, I'm doing that.
For
but what's
Magoobies.
Funny is that It was tweeted out. I think it was tweeted out by Eric Woodworth.
Yeah.
And he said, hey, we're doing this. And I retweeted it, sounds lame. And mine has 3 times the amount of likes that his does. I don't know if that's, do they think it actually sounds lame? Do they know I'm kidding? Or like the girl that I blocked, do they not understand that I'm joking?
I think they're not sure.
They don't know. They're on the fence.
When is that? I'll watch that.
The 28th. Hey, real quick, let's just end on this.
Yeah.
Robbie copied me on the tweet. I'm sorry, on the text to Mike Chamberlain. He said, doesn't ring a bell, screenwriter. He said, comedic actor. He goes, Robbie goes, he has a shit ton of credits. And then he goes, maybe I've seen him in some films. Not sure. Robbie puts a picture of him up there and he says, seems familiar. He's been in 200 things. This guy is a movie expert. He's been in 200 movies, and he said seems familiar.
That's our movie expert, Mike Chamberlain. All right, well, Zoom on the 25th. We'll keep you posted on that. And And then the 28th, you're going to do your Zoom riff in time with Eric Woodwork, Tommy Sambazo, and Justin Schlegel, I think, is on that.
Yep, yep. Yeah. Excited.
All right, guys. Good stuff. See ya.
All right, see ya.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.